Well, as we mentioned earlier, some stunning news for the music industry this morning. New figures showing global music sales are up for the first time in 14 years. The sales haven't risen by much, only 0.3%. But that's significant for a market which has been going backwards now for more than a decade. It's a significant moment for an industry too that's been written off by the digital revolution. Music revenues clocked in over $16 billion in global sales, as I mentioned, up 0.3% on last year. And it was Adele's hit album, 21, that topped the global albums chart for a second consecutive year with 8.3 million copies sold. Harvey Kubinik is a widely respected music writer, author and record producer. He joins us from Los Angeles. Harvey, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Happy to be here.
Everyone's happy this morning, Harvey. Does this suggest the fight back against illegal downloads has been a success? Is that what this result tells us?
Part of it can be attributed to piracy, but on the other side of piracy, downloading has allowed so many young people, college students, and people perhaps not, you know, buying the formal hard copy retail CDs to investigate and maybe check out links to music and cultures or sound cultures that they'd never even have heard of or, you know, maybe read online or in some magazines and stuff. So that's one of the reasons this sort of music has been spreading, you know, in the retail outlets.
So it's sort of spreading the joy. Rather than being the enemy of the music industry, it's the internet is allowing more people to have access to a broader range of music, and that's generally just upping the whole appetite.
Yes, and if you were to study, you know, the history of reggae music and some of the music coming from, you know, Nigeria, often some of those first recordings, and I'm going back 30, 40, and 50 years, were on, you know, pirated discs or bootleg recordings or illegal, you know, albums and stuff that spread in the community. And often, you know, people would tour and even be on television with not, you know, huge record sales, but people would get to hear the people and then want to see them, you know, in live performance. And that's certainly what has happened. But we're also looking at probably the influence of the Wailers and Bob Marley and the Wailers, their record sales and their touring over the year, or the pioneers like King Sonny Ade. I mean, even a couple of his sons live in Los Angeles, and these were people that were playing, you know, substantial venues, you know arenas years and years ago. And so the ramifications of their sort of groundwork, I think, have been like little ripples that have spread in the last few years.
So you sort of indicate that this slight uptick in sales is a result of some major one-off events rather than a change of culture, not that we've got to a sort of a critical mass now where our mindset's different and we're all happy to pay a dollar or two to download a song.
Well, you know, it's in downloading and you know, that kind of virus spreading, good virus spreading, seems to be, you know, a component in exposure. But also, this sort of music has had such impact and has such durability that it's a generational thing where parents are passing some of the hard disk down to their children, who are then finding all the splinter groups that have carried this music. And, you know, in the case of Australia, I have a well-regarded musician friend named Chris Darrow, who people may know. He helped Ben Harper out. He wrote the song Whipping Boy that I know was a hit single in Australia years ago. And Chris Darrow used to say, this pan-global music is really starting to catch on. And he was saying this 5 and 10 years ago. And all of a sudden you're seeing, at least in the United States, like Global Beat magazines and college radio specialty shows devoted to global music. And Roger Steffens, the reggae scholar, for over 20 years had a radio show out here called the Reggae Beat. So all of a sudden it's reggae beat, it's world beat, it's pan-global. I mean, this music is now having actually, you know, formats and forums where people can get 1 or 2 hours a week of it, and that's not even counting the spread a little bit, you know, on satellite radio channels. So all of this stuff is colliding, and that the Wailers and Aversion are still touring, and this goes back years and years ago to the Paul Simon Graceland record, which helped kind of open the door even further. So we're seeing the ramifications of work done 10, 20, and 30 years ago starting to really push things forward a little bit.
In order for the sales to keep maturing, though, for the industry, you've got, as we've been saying, you've got to get people not doing the illegal downloads, no matter their broader tastes and more sort of energy energized taste for new music, they've got to be paying for it. What's the spread, as I see it, the spread for digital revenues? It's growing all right, but it's still only 34% of this amount. So that suggests still a lot of people are buying CDs.
It is growing, and one of the outlets that are helping the CD growing is the placement of songs in TV shows, movies, and the soundtrack albums. So often, this sort of music is sometimes licensed or used, you know, in film and celluloid or, you know, screen endeavors, and maybe as cues or little bits and pieces, but people will find out about this stuff on a soundtrack album, and then maybe go find the artist or find more things. So that is a paying outlet where revenue and licensing, you know, is logged and tracked. So I think some of that is attributed, you know, I think to that routing.
And just finally, Harvey, and briefly, we're almost out of time, but what about the streaming services like Spotify? Artists get a pittance from that, many musicians refusing to allow sites like this to carry their repertoire.
If you participate in, you know, it's shown to me, the Dave Matthews Band used to have a all-taping allowed facility at every one of their concerts, which was a practice that was first initiated by the Grateful Dead 20, 30, and 40 years ago, where they encouraged taping at their shows, and one of the Grateful Dead members says, "It's yours, we've given it to you," and so people would dupe and trade tapes and downloaded. And as far as I remember, at one time, both those acts were the two highest grossing, bands of the decade, or at least for a few years, and they gave the music away at their shows. So I don't think it really dilutes the popularity or drives all that much away, because the true fan might download a little bit, but also support the hard, you know, commercial, you know, items as well. And
okay.
I mean, this stuff is starting to spread, and there's even World Beat Nights at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. This was unheard of, you know, 10 years ago.
Harvey Kubinick, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Harvey Kubinick is a music writer and producer, joining us there from LA. It's 6:28.